So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time.
Welcome to another episode of American Timelines. I'm Amy.
And I'm Joe.
And
I'm not Grover Cleveland Steamer.
No.
I'm officially...
He's Joe. Today we are discussing... Stop it. We are discussing...
We're opening Hop Slam.
Stop it.
Sorry.
No, we're discussing 1999.
1999!
This is our final episode of the 1990 season.
It is. Season one has come and gone pretty fast.
Yeah, it's been a good ride.
And we started this, actually, for those of you who don't know, we started with 90s. Everyone says, why did you start with the 90s, you idiots? That's just an arbitrary thing. Are you doing 2000s next? No, we decided collectively... that we can't wait to get into the 70s.
And the 80s.
There will be lots of cool, crazy murder stuff. And a lot of the pop culture stuff will be crazy because the internet wasn't around.
Yep,
so
that's
right. So we didn't hear about all this crazy shit. So those are going to be fun. And we wanted to get good at this before we delve into the good stuff. So
that's
we figured 90s will be our practice season.
That's right.
And so, and again, we've really just started doing this for fun because we like doing it. And I had all this equipment and I like podcasts. So does Amy, right?
That's right.
We don't really like the same kind of podcasts, but we both like podcasts. So we said, let's make our own and try to meld our two interests together. And so here we are. And we've done a season now and some people are listening. We just got up to 900 followers on the Twitter.
That's pretty sweet.
On the tweets.
On the twats.
On the tweet storms.
Yep.
We've joined a pattern family, a podcast family.
Yep.
We're just happy to do it, and if you're listening, drop us a line.
Yeah, send us an email.
Yeah. Are you ready for this?
Yeah,
let's do
it. What happened in 1999, honey?
1999. There was a big snowstorm, leaving 14 inches of snow January 2nd of 99 in Milwaukee and Chicago, killing 68 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, the Senate trial in the impeachment of the U.S. President Bill Clinton began January 7th.
1999.
At the Royal Rumble. It wasn't just a Royal Rumble battle. There's other matches. So The Rock beat Mankind for the WWF title. He won the title.
Yeah.
He didn't have it before the match. He won it.
Okay.
It was an I Quit match. And Mankind is Mick Foley. You've heard me talk about Mick Foley before.
Yes.
And he's known. Do you know what he's known for at all?
He's real smart.
Well, he actually is. But he's actually known in the wrestling world for just taking a ridiculous amount of punishment.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, he is famous for almost dying a bunch of times. Like, he... did some crazy cage match where he just jumped off of this super high cage and just to jump off. Like, he wasn't muscly at all. He's like kind of a fat guy. But
so he's a daredevil.
He's like a daredevil. He just take a bunch of punishment. His teeth are all gone. Like,
why does he do that?
I don't know. I guess it's been his career. But this match was very hard for me to watch because it was an I Quit match. So the only,
what does that mean?
The only way to win is, you know, they have a microphone. There's a guy holding a microphone. And the only way to win is to have your opponent say into the microphone that I quit.
Oh.
I don't want to do this match anymore. It got brutal around this time. So I watched this match and I had fast forward a little bit. And at some point, somehow Mankind ends up in handcuffs behind his back.
Like, well, how is that even?
I don't even know. I don't know how it got to that, but somehow there's handcuffs. And so he's handcuffed for the match. And the last 5 minutes of the match is just, it's just crazy. It's just The Rock just nailing Mick Foley with a steel chair in the head.
Oh, my God. While he's handcuffed?
Yeah, he's handcuffed. So he's just standing there while The Rock just... it's like a video game. He just nails him in the head over and over repeatedly. So I looked up online. I was like, is this what? And they said he took 11 shots to the head with a steel chair. And, you know, when they first introduced steel chairs to wrestling... You could see...
I mean, why?
Like, back in the 80s and stuff...
Whose idea was that?
You could tell they, like... pull it, you know, where they don't really hit them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they just kind of tap them with it.
Yeah.
But then they're not unconscious or dead or whatever. This was like full on swing. I mean, the chair was getting bent and broken. It was clear he was hitting him hard in the head. And so it was hard for me to watch. I was just like, what is he doing? I knew he had this reputation when I was watching this, but it's still, it was hard as fuck to watch. So
why do you like to watch it?
I don't know. I don't like this. I like the old rap. Like, I like the old, I'm Hulk Hogan. And what's
you like the soap opera and all
like,
that
I
stuff.
I liked all that when I was a kid. Like, it was like when I was a kid, it was different. It was more like family friendly and everything. Now this one, they're like.
It's like extreme fighting or whatever.
Fuck you and you bitch and all this stuff.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. Because
they cuss like that?
Because they were trying, at that point, they were trying to appeal to the audience of kids who liked wrestling in the 80s who are now in college and older kids. women are half naked and they're
but that was always the way, right?
No, not back then. Oh. Elizabeth wore like prom dresses, like, but in the 90s they're all naked because it's all like everybody's older now. Yeah. Anyway, so it was really hard to watch. By the end of the match, they're he's just hitting him with a chair in the head over and over in the aisle. They're not even in the ring anymore. Well, he's handcuffed. And it was weird as I watched it because the last chair shot, I mean, The Rock nailed him. And The Rock looked to me like he didn't really feel real comfortable about doing that.
I would hope so.
But I'm sure it was Mick Foley was like, just do it. Just do it. This is what sells. It's clear the last hit, he's unconscious completely.
Oh, my God. Like, he could have killed him.
I know. He could have.
Has anybody ever killed anybody? There's been accidents.
We'll get into that. But anyway, he's on his face, unconscious. And The Rock puts the mic down to him. And the first couple of times he puts the mic, say, I quit. He's like, you're going to have to kill me, Rock. Go to hell. Or whatever. Yeah. He's not going to quit. And when he puts the mic down to him this last time, he doesn't even move at all. You can tell his mouth isn't moving. You hear, yeah, I quit.
Did somebody else saying that?
It's a recording of him saying it because he was unconscious.
Oh, God.
That's my gut was when I watched it. Yeah. So I looked it up and it turns out they admitted that that's what happened. He was completely out cold.
Oh,
and it was just
God.
A recording over the PA system, which is crazy. Like, yes. Why would you want to watch that? Like,
that's my question every time you talk about wrestling.
I don't know. And then during the Royal Rumble match, it was crazy. You know, that's a 30 people in the
ring.
Right, The first two people were Stone Cold Steve Austin, who won the last two Royal Rumbles. Uh-huh. And Mr. McMahon was in the Royal Rumble this time, Vince McMahon.
The guy who owns it?
Yeah, the guy who owns it. So he's a big bodybuilder guy. He's buff.
Oh, he is? I guess I never realized that.
Yeah.
He's always wearing a tuxedo or something,
yeah,
isn't
he? He's always wearing a suit, not a tuxedo. But this one, he comes out with his shirt off, and he's built. He's, like, pumped. Like, he was ready for it.
Like, roided out.
Yeah, definitely roided out. But I think this is one of the first times, I could be wrong on this one, and wrestling fans will kill me if I'm wrong, but this might have been one of the first ones he actually wrestled and got in the ring. So it was obvious, like, oh, he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Because they were the first two entrants in the Royal Rumble. And the whole thing about it was, he doesn't know how to wrestle. He doesn't wrestle. And he was, like, 60 or something. So Stone Cold beats the crap out of him, and then Vince McMahon runs out of the ring, but he slides under the bottom, so it's not over the top rope. And then Stone Cold chases him out into the ladies' bathroom, and there's a bunch of people waiting there. And they all beat the shit out of Stone Cold, right? Vince McMahon had his old stable of the corporation. All those wrestlers and guys that are part of his corporation, they were bad guys. And that was their whole angle. It was a smart angle for a long time. It was like, Stone Cold's the hero. He doesn't give a shit about the boss and fuck you, rich guy.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold's all about drinking beer and kicking ass. He's like the white trash king, you know? All those trucks and camouflage and drinking a bunch of beer. So anyway, they knock Stone Cold out and they have to take him to the hospital in the ambulance. Mm-hmm. And so they show the ambulance taking him, and the Royal Rumble keeps going. People keep coming out and doing stuff. And so they go through all this match while Stone Cold's at the hospital or whatever, getting treated.
Like, he's really at the hospital?
Well,
oh, it's pretend.
They show the ambulance take him.
But
they said all these people knocked him unconscious in the women's bathroom. But about, three quarters of the way through the match,
he runs back in.
Vince McMahon comes out to the ring and puts on a headset. He's like, yeah, I'm still technically in this ring, in this match, but I'm going to just come in at the end and win, whatever, which is stupid. And he's just sitting there on the headset talking to the announcers. Then all of a sudden you see an ambulance show back up.
Oh, that's so dumb.
And Stone Cold's driving it.
Oh, that's so stupid.
It's so stupid. And he's completely fine. Like, and then he goes back in, he fights in the Royal Rumble.
God, it's dumb.
It's real stupid. And then the last two are Stone Cold and Vince McMahon, of course. Everybody else is out.
It's some genius writing going on in the wrestling world.
But so he's beating the shit out of Vince McMahon, this old man. And so it's obvious he's going to win it.
Yeah.
But then The Rock comes out. And I was like, oh, here's the championship you want, Stone Cold, so bad, because whoever wins this match is going to fight The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So Stone Cold runs over to The Rock, and Vince McMahon flips him over. And so Vince McMahon wins the stupid Royal Rumble. Mm. And so then he's like, oh, great, Vince McMahon's going to fight him at WrestleMania. But then they had some stupid storyline where Vince McMahon relinquishes his title shot to Stone Cold for some reason. He was the runner-up or whatever. So anyway, Stone Cold fights The Rock at WrestleMania. And, of course, Stone Cold wins because they want him to be the greatest thing in the world.
1999.
The Broncos beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl that year, 99.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be the Broncos against the Vikings. The Vikings would have won for sure because the Vikings should have been in the Super Bowl. They should have been because the 1998 season, resulting in the 99 Super Bowl, the Vikings were 15-1. They broke the NFL record in points scored. Randy Moss was just catching everything.
We get it.
Over everyone.
Enough.
He was dominating everyone. Dennis Green was the greatest coach of ever. He was quoted as saying, only Vikings get what they want on the top. I'm a Vikings fan if you can't tell. But this Super Bowl, Cher sang the national anthem, honey. Cher, you're a big Cher fan.
Yeah.
You talk about Cher every day.
Do you believe in love after love? I don't know if that was then, but...
That was then, we'll get into that later. Sometimes I'll Cher in this podcast. She holds a kind of a longevity kind of serial killer type record. So I think that's why she sang it. And the halftime show, do you want to guess who it was?
Cher?
Nope.
Oh. I'm not going to guess.
Okay. I just know Gloria Estefan? Again?
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder?
Okay.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. And I'm going to put it right in here. So we're talking about the Super Bowl. Let's just get the cost of a Super Bowl ad out of the way.
$1,400,000.
Remember what it was last time?
No.
It was 300 or something?
Oh, was it?
I can't remember. It was $1,600,000.
Oh, okay. So it went up a little bit.
February 12th, impeachment of Bill Clinton. He's acquitted by the Senate.
Yep.
Rosie O'Donnell hosted the Grammy Awards. Lauryn Hill was the main recipient, winning a total of 5 awards, including Album of the Year.
She has a good album.
And Best New Artist. It was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
And her album was the first hip-hop act ever to win the coveted award of Best.
Good. Good for her.
Yeah, Album of the Year. The ceremony was known as Grammy Year of Women because every artist nominated for Album of the Year was female, including Garbage, with Shirley Manson as the head singer, Madonna. I don't know much about Garbage, but they're supposed to be great. Madonna won 4 awards, so I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
The Dixie Chicks, Vince Gill, Alanis Morissette, and Shania Twain won 2 apiece. Vince Gill, I don't think, is a woman, though.
What?
It's listed.
Yeah, it's listed under
Vince
women.
Vince Gill, something in there. I don't think he's a woman.
No,
maybe he is. Maybe that's who am I to judge? Celine Dion also received 2 awards for "My Heart Will Go On."
Crappy.
You were a big fan of Celine Dion.
You have never.
A Celine Dion tattoo.
Never.
March 8th, 1999, the Supreme Court of the United States upholds the murder convictions of Timothy McVeigh for the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh yeah, our old friend Timmy.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
April 12th, 1999, Bill Clinton is cited for contempt of court for giving intentionally false statements in a sexual harassment civil lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
April 20th, 1999, Columbine High School massacre.
Mm.
2 Littleton, Colorado teenagers, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, opened fire on their teachers and classmates, killing 12 students and 1 teacher, and then themselves.
Yes, and they were not bullied, as is commonly thought.
Yeah, so there's this whole narrative about be nice to people, stop picking on people. It's your fault that people are mass shooters. Stop picking on them.
And I mean, maybe sometimes that might be the case, but in that situation,
like that.
It was not.
Well, this was the classic one that was like, these guys were bullied and picked on so bad that they turned on.
Yeah, they were the bullies.
I remember several stories about the media billing it as revenge of the revenge against the jocks who were picking on people and all that stuff, and it wasn't that, huh?
No, well, the main Eric Harris was the ringleader. He was just a psychopath,
right?
So he just wanted to kill everybody, and he had some kind of video blog, and he had journals saying that he was going to kill his classmates, and the authorities knew about it, and they even had an affidavit written. But it was never filed, and there was a search warrant attached to it, and they never went through with it, and then they covered it up. It was just a big mess.
May 19th, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, was released in theaters. The prequels came out.
Oh, okay.
And it became the highest grossing Star Wars film.
Oh, really? More than, like, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, more than the old ones. I guess because if you think about it, grossing means how much money it makes, and so obviously
they don't adjust for inflation.
I don't think so. The 90s made, movies were so much more expensive than back in the 70s, but... it was highly regarded as the worst Star Wars movie.
Yes, I agree.
By far. I don't remember hating it. I hated Jar Jar Binks, like everyone else.
Yes.
I hated Jar Jar Binks. And a lot of us were disgusted that they tried to make it for kids and they added this character.
Mm-hmm.
But I found a new respect for it once I had a son. I don't know if Audrey cared about it, but when I was having him watch Star Wars, I was very conflicted when he got old enough to understand it.
Yeah.
Do I have him watch it the order I watched it? Like, or watch the old ones and then the new ones? Or he was real little, so he was like 5 or 6 when we started watching it, I think. So I was like, well, maybe the prequels will be good because they're kind of kid-friendly. There's the Jar Jar and the kids, whatever. So I did that before Andy, and then Andy, my brother, who was on two episodes ago, as you could probably tell, he is a nerd that's very particular about things. And he said, no, don't screw it up. You only get 1 chance to present Star Wars to him. You have to do the machete order. And I was like, what
the hell's a machete order?
The machete order. It's a popular order. A lot of people who are upset with the prequels, they hate them. They say the best way to watch them, if you're presenting them to someone new, a kid, whatever, you're supposed to watch, I don't know exactly how it goes. I think it's episode 4 first, which is the first Star Wars, which we watched.
Okay.
And so you watch 4 and 5,
Empire Strikes Back,
and then you stop, and then it's like a flashback. Before you watch 6, because in 5 is the reveal that
that's
Luke's father.
Yeah.
I am your father.
Right.
Luke,
right.
I am your father, or whatever.
Everybody
knows. I guess they actually don't even say that. But everybody knows that now, but a kid's not going to know that. So before you reveal that,
you gotta watch
if you watch
ones.
The prequels first, you know that he's the father. And so that ruins everything. So you're supposed to go back and then watch 1, 2, 3, and then 6 at the end of Fast Forward to Return of the Jedi, I guess. And I guess also the guy from. I forget the guy's name, Toby something from that 70s show.
Mm-hmm.
The main guy, whatever his name.
Topher Grace.
Topher Grace, yeah. He apparently he took the prequels and he cut out all the crap, took out Jar Jar Binks and everything, and supposedly made one super movie that's good.
Oh.
But anyway, I played those for Henry, and he still likes Phantom Menace, and because it was so kid-friendly.
Yeah.
He liked the racing and all that, and watching it through his eyes, or watching him watch it, or watching it with him, made me respect it more and like it more, so I don't hate it as much as everybody else. And I don't even mind Jar Jar Binks that much, because watching a five-year-old giggle and laugh at it, you know, it kind of made me have a new respect for it. So I kind of get why George Lucas did it. Anyway, that's a lot just to say. Star Wars Phantom Menace came out. But that kid was a terrible actor. The kid who played the poor kid.
Well, Jake, the dialogue.
Jake Lloyd, the dialogue was bad.
Awful.
Yeah. Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen were both terrible actors. Yeah. But Jake Lloyd, poor kid, like, he got picked on at school.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody bullied him, and he's an alcoholic. All kinds of, I don't know if he's an alcoholic, but he had all kinds
of stuff. He's making stuff up now.
Well, he went to jail for something. Like,
oh, he did?
Drunk or something. Or drag racing. Or he had all kinds of troubles, poor guy. 1999 was the year we lost Owen Hart.
Okay.
Did you ever hear about this whole thing?
I think you told me, but I didn't think it was somebody who killed him. I thought it was
He died at a WWF pay-per-view event.
But he fell out of the...
Yeah, so they were going to bring
him
down.
Did anybody ever kill anybody?
Oh, no, with a chair. Yeah,
I don't with something.
Think so. But this Owen Hart, I guess they were going to bring him down as Blue Blazer. It was kind of like a comical thing they were going to do to make fun of Sting. Because WCW Sting would come from the rafters. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to make fun of that. So the plan was for Owen Hart as Blue Blazer to come down and get all tangled and look stupid.
Yeah.
And then, like, they had, like, a harness that was going to drop him. Like, it was going to, like, come down, stop, and then
like a bungee.
Fall on his face. Like, he was supposed to look stupid. It was supposed to be, look how stupid falling from the rafters is. It was like making fun of Sting. And so something happened. And so it had a quick release mechanism to do that. Somehow the quick release mechanism went when he was up 70 some feet in the air. So the arena was filled with people. He came down 70 feet.
Oh, my God.
Landed on the ropes, on the top rope with his chest.
Was it live on TV, too?
It wasn't live on TV, luckily. They had it.
Oh, God.
Because it was a test. It was, like, during a break.
Oh, it was?
So, luckily, it wasn't live on TV, but everyone in the arena saw it. And there's not cell phone video, but apparently there's some video of it somewhere in some vault somewhere. But people who were eyewitnesses said that his body folded like an accordion because he landed his chest on the rope from 70 feet.
Oh, my God.
Like, folded. And they immediately came out there, pulled him off.
Oh, like an accordion. That, like, folds up, though.
Yeah, so you think his whole body folded, like, in half, I guess. Because it happened on his chest. If it comes down on his chest, I'm guessing it's like that. But he, the announcer had to announce then on live TV that he died.
That day?
There was an accident. Yeah, that day he announced on TV, but they never announced it in the stadium. So the people in the stadium didn't know he was dead until, like,
Well, because that would cause a panic or something,
I don't know. But then
they would have to end the...
They continued the match.
They continued it?
Yeah, they went on with... So I don't know exactly when. I was trying to find out when...
That's outrageous.
Because I watched the pay-per-view where it happened. I was trying to figure out, when did it happen? Like, everybody had to be somber after that.
That they didn't cancel it.
I don't know why they didn't, but
they should have. That's awful.
They should have, yeah.
That's awful.
I don't think he was.
He died.
He didn't die right then, but he died before the pay-per-view was over, I know, at the hospital. Like, they took him to try to revive
him. So he wasn't dead.
I think he was probably dead pretty close then, but they tried to revive him, but unsuccessfully, apparently.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, they kept going. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it's awful.
1999.
The Space Shuttle Discovery completes the first docking in the International Space Station, and I don't mean two dudes putting their wieners together.
Right, I understand that.
Okay. June 19th, horror author Stephen King is hit in a car accident on Route 5 in North Lovell, Maine by Brian Smith.
Yeah.
You knew about that?
Yeah, he almost died.
He did?
Yeah. It changed his life. His whole writing.
Is that why he wrote Misery?
No. The Misery was before that.
Misery was before that.
Yeah. But, I mean, his writing took a whole different... You never heard about that?
What, did he stop writing horror?
No, but it almost changed his life. Like, he almost died.
The Spurs won and the basketball... San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. I think it was like David Robinson or somebody was the old guy who finally won a thing, maybe. The Dallas Stars won in hockey, and they were – this is the stupid thing.
Dallas has a hockey team?
Yeah. And that's,
isn't that like a north – I always think that's northern just because of the ice, I guess.
They're called the Dallas North Stars. Uh-huh. Now, that's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Why would you call a team in Dallas the North Stars?
Right.
I think they changed it to just the Stars. It was the North Stars. They were in Minnesota.
Oh.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
The Minnesota North Stars.
Right.
Also – speaking of teams moving, so they moved to Dallas and became just the Stars.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense, a North Star in Dallas. And then the Minnesota has a new team called the Wild now, I think. But did you know the Los Angeles Lakers? Mm-hmm. You know, they're from Minnesota originally.
Oh, really?
Because Minnesota is the land of the lakes. But I didn't know that until I was much older. Like when I was a kid, I was like, it never made sense to me. Why is Los Angeles the Lakers? There's no lakes in Los Angeles.
True.
Because they're from Minnesota. I don't know why they didn't change their name. Like the Utah Jazz. What the fuck? There's no Jazz in Utah.
Yeah.
There's just white Mormons in Utah. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you be called the Jazz? Like, they were the New Orleans Jazz. That's why they moved.
Right,
that's why they're the Jazz.
1999.
Okay, do you want to know who won the Kentucky Derby?
No.
You don't even want to know?
No, I don't even want to know.
Not only do you not want to guess.
I don't care.
Okay, Charismatic. Is the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
All right.
Do you feel better off for having known that?
No.
God dang it, you're mad. Okay, the U.S. Open. I don't care about golf.
I didn't even know that was golf. Like, that could have been tennis for
tennis
all I know.
Tennis and golf, I'd never get it.
Same thing.
Yeah, to me, it's all stupid.
U.S. Open could be either.
Yeah, U.S. Open. What did I say? Yeah, the U.S. Open. The tennis is the something French Open, maybe? Or no, the Wimbledon. I don't know what that even is.
I don't even know.
I don't either. Tennis shouldn't be a sport. In fact, anybody who likes tennis, stop listening to this. No, I have friends who I respect them as people, and they have good opinions on other things, but they like tennis, and I just stare at them. I'm like, what are you
all
doing
right
with your
keep
life?
Going. What were you
going
to say?
Anyway, I don't like that. But golf. Here's why I'm going to talk about golf. Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open that year.
Okay.
You remember Payne Stewart? Remember that name for
sort
any
of.
Reason?
Sort of.
You know anything about him?
Like, no.
If you had to say anything about him, what would it be? Anything?
He's a golfer.
That's it. Okay, yep. He was a golfer. So Payne Stewart, here's the thing. I didn't realize that he actually won the U.S. Open that year, too.
Mm.
But he also died that year, in 99.
Oh, I do remember that.
Remember everybody at
I remember
Halloween?
At Halloween, they were dressed up like him.
Everybody was dressed as Payne Stewart, I guess because he had a lot of hair.
Why did they dress like him?
And an Irish hat. I think because you could dress like him. Because he died in a plane crash.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing about his plane crash that I didn't know about. This is crazy. It's kind of cool.
All right, what is it?
So listen to this. So when his plane lost cabin pressure,
mm-hmm.
all the occupants passed out.
Oh, yeah?
But the plane was in autopilot for 4 hours before it crashed. So for 4 hours, everyone on the plane was dead, even the pilots and everybody.
You passed out or dead?
Dead.
Because there was no cabin
because
pressure?
Because no cabin pressure. So,
that keeps you alive?
It crashed in South Dakota. So the airplane he was on lost cabin pressure and oxygen. The plane was on autopilot. So even though the two pilots and four passengers were dead, the plane continued for 1,500 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
With dead people.
Dead people on it.
Just a plane filled with dead people flying for 4 hours.
And then there was no way that anybody on the ground could help from crashing.
No, they're probably like, Payne Stewart's airplane, come in. Just nothing. And wow. What could they have done? I mean,
I wonder why it lost cabin. I wonder what happened.
I don't know. I didn't look that much. But I just think that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I'm surprised I didn't. I guess if we would have taken the time to read a paper back then,
we would have realized that.
1999.
October 27th, the New York Yankees sweep the Atlanta Braves to win their 25th World Championship. Stupid Yankees always winning everything. Bands formed in 1999.
No, stop doing that.
Ass Jack is a band from
1999.
American rock band led by Hank Williams III.
Oh, wow.
So it's a rock band, not really metal. Oh, but they evolved into a metal punk band.
Hey.
Did you say metal punk band?
Yeah, I said metal.
Damn, you're right. But that wasn't until later. But they were formed in 99, so you get that one. You're one for one. Okay, the Cum Shots.
Jesus.
The Cum Shots.
Punk.
They're actually a death and roll band from Norway.
Okay, I never would have guessed
it. It's like death metal, I guess. It's death and roll. But here's the thing about the Cum Shots.
Norwegian death metal is a big thing.
It is?
There's a big murder that happened in Norwegian death metal.
Oh, I wonder if it had to do with the Cum Shots.
No, it didn't.
Well, these guys they released four albums. They were known for their violent live performances where members of the band regularly suffered fractures and lacerations.
Jeez. Doing what?
Just rocking out.
God.
And one concert.
Rocking out.
One concert featured an onstage sex act between two members of the eco porn action group Fuck for Forest.
Eco porn.
Eco porn. Eco porn.
No, eco.
Eco, right? Eco
porn. Yeah, because they're environmentalists.
Yeah. Fuck for Forest.
Oh, my God.
We should look that up.
No, we're not going to look that up.
We're not going to?
No, we're not going to.
We're too old for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're one for one. You didn't get the death and roll band from Norway.
So I'm one for two, right?
I'm sorry. One for two. I'm an idiot. DJ Luck and MC Neat.
Hip hop.
DJ Luck and MC Neat.
It sounds bad.
They're a British musical duo. They're house music.
Mainly. Okay.
So I don't think that's hip hop.
No.
House music is more like.
I have a very narrow in my mind. Like I'm not gonna remember
like
house
genres.
Music and yeah, right.
Slick Idiots. Mm-hmm. Also formed in 99.
I don't know.
Slick Idiot. I'm sorry. Just Slick Idiot.
R&B.
Oh, you mean German electronic?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Not R&B. There's another band called Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin. S-S-L-Y-B-Y. Someone Still Loves You.
Punk.
Boris Yeltsin is an indie pop band from Springfield, Missouri. Yeah, okay, the top song of the year. I'm curious to see what your reaction is to this.
Play
Smooth
something stupid.
By Santana and Rob Thomas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Just like the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. That's kind of...
Give me a hot maker beer. Oh, let's forget about it. I thought you loved Santana, though, don't you?
No. Not really.
I think Santana's great. I just didn't want to like that because I didn't want to like Rob Thomas. Because he was from Matchbox 20.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty.
Then Rob Thomas said that like changed his career and gave him credit. So people think he's just a Matchbox 20 douchebag. So I don't think if he said those exact words.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Big Mouth Billy Bass?
Yes.
Singing Plastic Fish?
Yes.
That came out in 99.
Thank God.
You remember that stupid thing?
Yes.
I remember that. Clear as a bell.
I remember
in
at
Chicago,
Walgreens.
At the Walgreens that we used to go with the homeless
lady. Because
you'd
walk by it.
Yeah, because it would make that noise nonstop anytime you walked by it.
Yep.
And I remember that Walgreens very well because it was on Halstead and Waveland.
That's right.
Is where we lived and in Boys Town. And there was a homeless lady outside that Walgreens every day singing. She would sell the paper.
The Streetwise.
Streetwise, the paper.
The homeless.
The newspaper.
The homeless newspaper.
Yeah, and she would sing the song every day. She'd go, Streetwise, help the homeless, sir. Have a good day. Have a good time. Have fun.
Yep, she did that the whole
Streetwise.
Time. You only have to do it once.
Yeah, just over and over. Yeah. Just over and over and over. And she had no teeth, and she was very nice. I'll talk to her. I always wanted to know her name, but she didn't want to talk to me much. She just wanted to keep singing that song. But anyway, at that Walgreens, they had that Big Mouth Billy Bass singing Plastic Fish, and it was just incessant and annoying and awful. And do you remember the two songs it sang, though?
Take Me to the River, Throw Me in the Water.
Yeah, holy cow. How do you remember that?
I don't know. Because I heard it every time I went into Walgreens.
It sang that and Bobby McFerrin,
Worry, Be Happy. Don't Worry, Be Happy. I don't remember singing that.
I can't believe you remember it that clearly.
Yeah.
I am super impressed right now.
It was on every time.
Take Me to the River. Yeah. So that's the thing about this. Al Green said that he received more royalties from Big Mouth Billy singing that than any other recording of the song.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yes, it is.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Cher holds the record for the longest time span between two consecutive number one hits in the USA.
Okay.
So like the opposite of Elton John, where Elton John
was doing one a year.
So she had a number one hit, Dark Lady, in 1974, and then Believe in 1999.
Oh, my God.
A gap of 25 years.
Wow.
What was she doing all that time?
I think she had music. She just didn't have number
they
one.
They just weren't very good.
Yeah.
The gay guys hadn't got a hold of her yet.
That's right.
Once they got a hold of her, she went to the top.
Yeah, she sure did. Yeah. They made sure of it.
They made sure of it. Movies and TV in 1999. The Sixth Sense.
Yes, I love that.
You love that?
My mom, she's so good at guessing the ending of a movie. She
did
totally...
you see it with her? She guessed it and ruined it for you?
She like leaned over and said, "See, I think he's dead." And I was like, "What? Oh,
that's
she's
my favorite.
Right."
See, I think
she did.
So you can over no.
I can't go to a movie with her. That's
you
gonna
can't
surprise.
Go to a movie
she
with
did
your
the
mom.
Same thing with The Crying Game.
No.
Right away, she really never. She goes, "That's a man."
That's a whole stand-up routine right there. You can do a whole stand-up routine.
She just has an uncanny ability
to ruin movies for people.
To guess. No, it's to guess.
Well, it's guessing
trick
it,
endings.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know at the time.
Right. That she's ruining
she's
it.
Ruining it. She just you
remind
know.
Me not to go see a movie with her.
It's funny. It's so funny. It cracks me up. Actually,
it doesn't make you mad.
No, it's funny.
It wouldn't bother me. I would not want to be next to her. Although, maybe I would. Maybe I would like that.
1999.
3.4 million copies of the animated Disney movie The Rescuers was recalled in 1999 because it contained two frames where there was a naked woman in the background.
What?
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
I bet you can find that somewhere.
Well, I did.
Oh, you did.
So and what it is, you know, because that's not a live movie. Like, there's no live action.
It's an animated.
It's all cartoons. Yeah. So somebody put in... And I read up why, like how it got in there, or whatever. So they were recalled in 99 because, you know, the movie was from the
70s or 80s.
Yeah. So, and then they released it on video later on.
Yeah.
Did they release it in the theaters or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it was in the theaters originally. And then.
Yeah, back then. And so it wasn't, the boobs weren't in that.
No.
So somebody, when they created the
VHS
or the film copy that they put away or whatever, some copy back then, they somebody as a joke put that in there. And it's just a picture. Like, clearly somebody has this, because it's like a, it's like a, it's like 70s boobs. Like, okay. It's natural, yeah. Completely natural boobs.
It's just boobs, or it's just a whole,
it's
naked,
like a
woman.
It's a naked lady, like, her arms are up like this, and she, it's like a picture in the background.
Okay.
Like, you see these, if you look it up online, you can see a picture of these two mice, like, sliding down a hill or something, and there's just like a picture in the background.
Oh, somebody, my God.
Just put it in the background. And so that was clearly just some picture they had laying around. Yeah. Oh, let's put this in the movie. And so it really was in there. It's, it, that's funny. Really is a thing. So that's a funny thing. In the 1999 movie, I don't know if you'll care about this or not. I kind of think it's dumb, but I was debated. The 99 movie, The Matrix.
Yeah.
The big thing I want to talk about The Matrix is I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think we're in a Matrix.
You think we're in the Matrix?
I think right now I'm in a pod somewhere covered in slime. And this sleeping. Is all just fake and
yeah.
pretend.
It could be.
Just making it up.
Like, yeah.
It's either that or it's Truman Show. And you're an actress.
No, it's not the Truman Show.
No. You are an actress.
Yeah, but nobody, you're not that interesting.
I'm not.
No.
Have you seen my torso? So in the movie The Matrix, Neo's passport expires on September
11th, 2001. Wow. That's crazy.
I thought that at the beginning, too. I was like, oh, that's spooky. But I looked at it. It's really just his passport. So it's like they show his
barely
passport
see
for
it.
A quick second, and you'd have to like really examine it to find where yeah. is the expiration date even yeah. anyway. And so it's really not that interesting.
Yeah.
Once you look it up online, yeah. it's not that exciting. Okay, guess who the TV child star death was in 1999?
Dana Plato! Was it?
Susan Lucci?
Mm-hmm.
You know what she did in 99? Was a big deal?
Win an Emmy finally or something?
Yeah, Daytime Emmy Award after 19 nominations. You remember that being a big deal?
Yeah, she never would win.
I remember that was like a big, oh my God, Susan Lucci finally won. It's like,
yeah, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
That's right.
It's a Daytime Emmy.
Yeah, who cares?
If I won one, I'd be ashamed.
Yeah, that's right.
I've met probably what, three people that we've known that have been on daytime TV, and none of them wanted to admit it or talk about it.
Because,
that's so bad.
It is.
People were watching the Blair Witch Project in theaters. That was a big thing. It earned $248 million and cost $25,000. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, it looked like it.
That fucking sucked. I hated it.
I made you go see that.
You made me see it. And
the
number
Woodland
one,
Mall in Bowling Green.
All I remember is hating it. And hating it and hating it. Because I hate horror movies. I'm not a horror movie guy.
Yeah.
I don't like them. I don't get why you would want to pay money to be nervous. Like, there's
it's
enough,
fun.
I'm already,
it's thrilling.
It's not fun. I hate being nervous. I already have to be nervous in
but
real life.
But it's not real
lot.
Nervous. It's
it is real
pretend
nervous.
Pretend nervous.
It's like the same thing with like haunted, going to a haunted house. Like
I
to
love
have
that.
People jump out at
I
you.
Love
like,
I love it. I love it.
I'm paying money to feel on edge.
I love that.
I don't want to feel on edge. Like,
what
I
about when we went with all those gay guys to Carowinds? To Carowinds.
I didn't like. I liked.
That was fun.
I liked the gay guys, but I didn't like the.
Oh, it was so much
through.
Fun.
I don't want to be on edge. Yeah. You're on edge enough in life as it is. I don't want to pay to be on edge. Like,
oh,
I don't.
It's fun.
I spend my whole life avoiding being
all
on
right.
edge.
What's next?
It just doesn't make sense. It's this whole thing. It's this whole podcast. Like, you want to talk about being scared and murders and gross, disgusting,
and you
awful.
Want to talk about awful, stupid things.
Pro wrestling is great, except all for right. the Mankind thing. Shakespeare in Love won 7 awards at the Oscars for Best Picture. You didn't like that movie?
Mm-mm. That was because
Claire
like
Danes.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, wasn't it Claire Danes?
No, it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, didn't Claire Danes do a Shakespeare thing?
Maybe.
Oh. Whoopi Goldberg hosted the Oscars that year. But this was the year the Oscars were great because Roberto Benigni won the Best Actor. Do you remember what he did?
He jumped over the chair.
He like stood on the chairs. It was like, and people were so mad at him about that.
Oh, my God. It was like unbridled joy.
Why didn't he control himself? And what an embarrassment. And I felt the complete opposite.
I did, too.
I was like, you know what? That's real. That's a real emotion. Like, that's somebody who's...
It was unbridled joy.
It was unbridled joy. And he didn't give a shit what anybody thought. He was just so excited.
Yeah.
He won a freaking Oscar. He was standing on the chair.
And he deserved it.
And he deserved it because
that movie... And we've gone over it before, but...
And we couldn't drive home because I couldn't stop crying. Like, I was shaking and crying so hard. And we cried in the movie.
We
cried in the theater. We couldn't move. Nobody got up and left. We got sat in our car and cried.
Yeah. The only other movie that I cried to that extent was I saw The Elephant Man. Have you ever seen that?
Is that with
Anthony
Hopkins?
It's black and white. It will tear you up.
It's from the 70s?
It's so sad. Yeah. It's
I don't want to cry.
It is so sad. And at the ending... The worst is the ending is horribly sad because he dies. And
it's a true story.
It's
right?
a true story.
That's what's
yeah.
so sad. About
yes, and I was babysitting my cousins, and they were in bed, and I watched it, and I called my mom.
Oh no!
And I just was sobbing on the phone, and after I
had
watched
she
it.
Seen it before?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So she knew. About
she knew.
It.
Yeah. She was like,
did she
oh.
ruin the ending for you? Real
no.
quick?
No. It was after I saw it. He dies. No. She doesn't knowingly ruin the ending. Right. She just guesses correctly.
She ruins them. She's the movie ruiner.
1999.
In 1914, a British World War I soldier, Thomas Hughes, tossed a beer bottle with a letter to his wife into the English Channel.
Oh,
wow.
Because
he knew he was going to die. Right?
Yep.
He threw it into the English Channel. He was killed 2 days later.
Yeah.
In 1999, this was 1914.
Right, I get it, yeah.
And this is 1999, a fisherman dredged up the bottle in the River
Thames.
Although Hugh's wife had died in 1979.
Oh, that's too bad.
It was delivered to his 86-year-old daughter.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet.
His daughter was 86, and she got a letter from her father.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that heartbreaking, kind of?
Yeah.
Joan Murray?
Mm-hmm.
Survived a 14,500-foot fall.
What?
After her parachute did not deploy while skydiving.
Oh, my God.
Listen to how she survived. This is so crazy. She landed on a mound of fire ants.
What?
And was stung several hundred times, giving her an adrenaline rush to keep her heart beating.
Oh, my God. And to keep her awake, probably.
Yeah.
Like, because if you fall asleep...
I don't know. It kept her heart beating. That kept her alive.
Oh, my God.
Fire ants saved her life. But it probably had to suck really bad. Hey, not only did you fall out of a plane and don't have your parachute deploy, now you're stung by a bunch of fire ants.
That's awful.
That's terrible.
Oh,
but she survived.
God.
And guess what?
What? Now she loves fire ants.
She's from Charlotte. That was in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, was
She's
it?
From Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, I believe it with the fucking fire ants around here. Yeah.
That's insane.
She'd probably be on an I Survived episode.
Hackers revealed a security flaw in Hotmail in 1999 that permitted anybody to log into any Hotmail account using the password EH.
Really?
At the time, it was called the most widespread security incident in the history of the web.
Well, yeah. You could log into
anybody's Hotmail.
With two letters?
Yeah. You know some people that still use Hotmail?
Yes.
Yeah. Ann Keen is one of them.
Yeah.
Ann Keen, Vikings fan. She's a friend of ours who's also a fellow Vikings fan. She's also known as the loudest clapper in Chicago.
Yes, she is.
Every morning she gets up and she just starts clapping really loud and singing and stomping her feet. That's Ann Keen, Vikings fan, friend of the show. Let's hope she's listening. I haven't badgered her about listening.
That's right.
I've been one by one, every person I know, I've been asking them to listen.
Mention them.
And if I mention them, then I find people are more apt to listen if you mention them on the podcast for some reason.
1999.
Airplane celebrity death.
Oh.
1999.
Give me a clue.
Politician? Politician. Celebrity.
I don't know. I don't know.
JFK.
Junior.
Yeah.
That's right.
Remember that happening? Mm-hmm. Remember anything about that?
No. I don't remember anything much about it.
I think he was piloting the plane.
Yeah, he was.
1999, a 37-year-old truck driver was living in a travel trailer in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in a really bad accident, but he survived. But the medication he was given during his recovery resulted in him having an extreme allergic reaction that caused his heart to stop. So he was dead for 14 minutes.
Wow.
Clinically dead.
Yeah.
Completely dead.
Yeah.
They were able to get his heart going again after 14 minutes. So sometime within that span, he may have suffered brain damage.
Yeah.
Or you think he'd be a vegetable.
Something.
But it looks like he was fine. He got his heart going. He was comatose. A lot of people said, just unplug him, let him die. But after 12 days, he came out of the coma.
Wow.
Shockingly, completely fine. No apparent brain damage.
What?
Or other long-term damage. So he felt really lucky to be alive, right?
Yeah.
So he bought a scratch-off lottery ticket because he felt so lucky.
He win?
He won a car worth $17,000.
Wow.
It's not over. Normally, winning a car isn't a big enough story to get the media to pay attention to you, but given that he had recently died for 14 minutes, Melbourne News decided to do a feature on him. So in the process of the news doing a feature on him, they asked him if he wouldn't mind buying another lotto ticket and scratch it off on camera to kind of recreate it. So as he was recreating it with a scratch off, he won $250,000.
Oh, my God.
On that scratch
off. Oh, wow.
And as part of the reenactment, they said, say something. Oh, I won a car. And he was like, I just won $250,000. I'm not joking.
And oh my gosh.
Like, oh my God. Holy cow. And he really did. So, isn't that crazy?
What's his name? Are they going to tell you?
Oh, I thought I said his name to me. Bill Morgan. 37-year-old Bill Morgan.
You said a truck driver. You didn't say his
name.
I didn't
say 37-year-old Bill Morgan?
No, you said a 37-year-old truck driver.
Oh, I thought I said Bill Morgan. So anyway, his name was Bill Morgan. So how about that?
That's pretty cool.
How about that? Pac-Man's perfect score. Pac-Man was released in 1980.
Yeah.
And in 1999, Billy Mitchell played Pac-Man for 6 hours nonstop to reach the 256th screen and achieve a score of 3,333,360.
I hate Pac-Man. It makes me nervous.
You hate it?
I hate it. It makes me nervous.
Wait a minute.
Because those things, like, I can't go too fast enough, and those dumb things are coming after. Yes, I hate it.
You hate Pac-Man.
Yes.
But you don't hate watching Blair fucking Witch put you fucking on edge because somebody's going to murder you. You're okay with a crappy graphic ghost.
I hate it. I hate it. It makes me too nervous.
I don't get it. How does that make you nervous? That doesn't make me nervous at all. In fact, I love it.
Oh, I hate it.
And I love the sound Pac-Man makes when he dies. And when you get the vitamin like that. And Miss Pac-Man. I think I'm like Miss Pac-Man more than Pac-Man.
It's just a Pac-Man with a ball on.
For a long time, I've been afraid to admit this because I thought people would think.
It's just Pac-Man with a ball, right? Is it no difference?
There's some slight differences in the
not really
gameplay. The maze is a little bit different, but I don't know. They had Miss Pac-Man at Pizza Hut, I think, and I liked it better.
That's stupid.
I think I like Miss Pac-Man better. And you can judge me if you want. I don't care anymore. It's a different world. I don't care.
I'm not saying it's stupid you like it more. I'm saying it's stupid.
You can call me effeminate.
It's just, no, I'm
you
saying
can
it's
question my sexuality
that,
for liking Miss Pac-Man.
No,
it's fine.
I'm saying it's stupid that you have an opinion because it's the same thing. It's just got a bow on it.
It's a lot. There's a pretzel as a prize instead.
That's
you don't have a pretzel.
Not
as
enough of
Pac-Man.
A difference.
Maybe
to have
that's
a preference.
The difference. That's why I like it better. I like the pretzel.
All right. What's next?
You don't seem to. I think you're homophobic because you don't want me to
no,
like Miss
stop
Pac-Man.
It.
You're homophobe.
Stop it.
I will suck a dude's dick to prove
all
I'm
right.
Not to prove I'm not homophobic.
1999.
On July 28th, Tommy Chong was the very first person in America to receive a medical marijuana card at the state
Sweet.
Of California.
He should be, as he should be.
Yep.
So, anyway, yep. Ready for my deep dive?
Let's do a deep dive.
All right. Deep dive. Deep dive. So I'm going to deep dive into the mysterious murder of Ricky McCormick.
Ricky McCormick.
So
I don't know what this is.
Late June of 1999, a woman finds a body off the rural road, off a rural road near St. Louis, Missouri.
Rural road?
Rural is a hard word to say.
I know. I noticed you have trouble with that. Rural, right?
You say rural?
Rural.
Rural?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Rural?
Why would you say rural?
Well, why do you say rural?
It's rural.
I can't say it. Anyway, 20 miles north of St. Louis.
Okay.
This woman is driving, and she finds a body. Medical examiner was uncertain about how this person died, and the police thought he was killed somewhere else and dumped there. The body was 41-year-old Ricky McCormick, a loner with a checkered past and a police record, and he may have been a drug dealer. Leading up to his death, there was reports that he was acting strange. He didn't own a car, one of the questions is, how did he get there? It was in the middle of nowhere. There was no mass transportation.
He's not from that area?
He was 20 miles away.
He's from St. Louis.
Yes.
He's a St. Louisian?
Yes.
Is that what you call yourself? St. Louisians?
The body was very badly decomposed. There was no motive. No one reported him missing. Initially, they didn't even rule it as a homicide.
Really?
This is where it starts to get a little weird. Huh. He was last seen alive just 3 days before the body was found. Hmm. And the area was known as a dumping ground. There had been other murders and bodies had been dumped there. Hmm. And
that's a dumping ground for bodies.
So the last...
Let's go poke a body with a stick.
One of the things is, the last things, you know, like I said, he was last seen alive 3 days before he was found, his body was found. But the body was very badly decomposed. So it's a mystery. It's a little bit of a mystery as to how.
It can be so decomposed in
yes,
only 3 days?
Yes. The weather was not extremely hot.
They're saying it wasn't hot enough.
What, for the level of decomposition.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yes.
So alien, we're thinking alien here?
Well, unless he was, that's why, I guess that's one of the reasons the police think he was killed somewhere else and dumped there, and maybe his body was kept somewhere that was hotter. Maybe a trunk of a car a shed or something.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing that was weird was the body wasn't concealed at all. It was an open area between a road and a cornfield.
So it was just like laying there.
Yeah.
Like probably thrown out of a speeding car.
So it couldn't have been killed there. He couldn't have been killed there. Somebody else would have seen it.
unless it was at night.
Yeah,
right?
but he would have, if it's that badly decomposed, and if he had been killed there,
somebody would have seen it sooner.
Somebody would have seen it sooner because it was right by the road. So Ricky McCormick was born June 14th, 1958. He grew up in St. Louis, and his mom would
STL, y'all.
His mom would describe him as challenged and, quote, retarded.
Oh.
Yeah. So mom was not a...
Well, that was the day that's what you did. That's what you call. That's the words you used then.
Yeah. He was close with his cousin Charles, who says he thinks Ricky may have had schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. He couldn't read and could only write his name, according to his family.
Okay, so he wasn't diagnosed.
He went through the public school system and dropped out. He did odd jobs. He did receive disability.
Any boat repair? Did he do any boat repairs?
He might have.
His boat repairman, like the last guy. Too good to be a boat repairman.
He did receive disability because he had a chronic heart problem and asthma.
Oh, okay.
So he did get disability for that.
Oh.
He was arrested in November in 1992 for statutory rape for a relationship he had with a young girl who had fathered two children with him. He had been with her since she was 11 years old.
Oh, gross.
Yes.
How awful. Where were her parents? I don't know.
At that trial, they determined he suffered from some mental disease or affect. 13 months is all he spent in jail for that.
For
statutory rape of the 11-year-old.
For doing it with an 11-year-old. That's all.
Yep. That is awful. Because it's pedophilia. I mean, I don't know why they didn't call it pedophilia.
You don't have to argue with me, man.
I'm just saying, like, why call it statutory rape? It should have been pedophilia. He was employed at a gas station, at an Amoco station nearby his house. Tuesday, June 15th.
It's funny. You mentioned Tuesday, June 15th, 1999, because this was just 2 days after the Great American Bash, when Roddy Piper was disqualified, when Buff Bagwell came out and attacked Ric Flair, as per a pre-match stipulation that Flair regained the presidency of WCW that he had lost to Piper at Slamboree the previous month. And after the match, Piper helped Flair and Arn Anderson to attack Bagwell. June 15th, the U.S. Senate passed legislation protecting companies from lawsuits stemming from the year 2000 computer problems. The upcoming problems.
Right.
Like it's a new protection. Like they pass a law.
Yeah.
All companies will be protected from any issues they have with Y2K.
And
there
that's
wasn't
fine.
Any issues
yep, that's
all
right.
that time.
Tuesday, June 15th, which is 2 weeks before his death, he purchased a one-way ticket to Orlando, Florida. And when he got there, he stayed at an Econo Lodge. We don't know why he was there. His girlfriend at the time, which was a different person than the 11-year-old. So his girlfriend at the time said that she thought maybe he was running drugs for somebody. And
without a car? Oh, running him...
to another state.
Oh, I guess, like, well, Greyhound is the way
he would pick up
transport
and,
drugs.
He would
or
deliver,
Amtrak.
Yeah, he would deliver, pick up and deliver packages for money is one of the things he did to get by.
I guess that makes sense.
He would hold, in his boss at the gas station, he had this boss at the gas station that was a really bad guy, and he would hold weed for his boss at the gas station where
weed?
He worked. Yeah.
Hold weed for him. I'm picturing the jerk and Mr. Hartoonian, Jackie Mason, and Steve Martin is this guy. That's what I'm picturing, the jerk.
The boss was a big thug, though. Like, he was... And I'll get in more into him.
So not like Jackie Mason.
No.
Oy vey.
And his girlfriend, Sandra, said the last trip that, you know, he had taken trips to Orlando before, but this last one was different because when he got back, he was different. She said he acted scared.
This time, man, when he got back.
Mm-hmm. Then on June 22nd, 1999.
Get rich and famous, you sent me a postcard. Sorry, that was Jackie Mason's line from the jerk.
All right, June 22nd, 1999.
Oh, June 22nd, 1999. Oh, man, it's funny. It's just you happen to pick up dates just to get the perspective so anyone can get the perspective
we
of what was going on June 22nd.
Right.
On TV that night, it was a Friday, so there wasn't a lot on. Everything was reruns. So the most interesting thing was 60 Minutes 2. Do you remember when they came up with 60 Minutes 2?
Sort of.
It was like the same kind of thing, but it was like other reporters that weren't as famous people, but they
for
were...
For some reason.
Also, June 22nd, Limp Bizkit's second album, Significant Other, debuted on number one on the Billboard charts that came out that day. That was... That song, that album has Nookie on it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it all for the Nookie. And that always reminds me of 99, because when that came out, we had moved to Chicago.
Yeah.
And we had just met the McCartneys, Brian and Jessica.
Yeah.
And I remember them playing that CD in the car. And we're like, listen to this. And we're like, you guys like Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
And I wasn't as surprised Jessica liked Limp Bizkit, but Brian didn't seem like a Limp Bizkit, but he seemed to love that Nookie song too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was great. I remember them playing that song. And that's like when we first met them in the car. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Well, on June 22nd, he went to the emergency room complaining of chest pains by himself.
Okay.
Doctors ruled out a heart attack, and he left the hospital on the 24th, so he stayed a two-night stay in the hospital.
Okay.
Then he took a bus from there to his Aunt Cookie's house.
Aunt Cookie!
And he's
I gotta hear about
real
this
close
lady.
With Aunt Cookie.
Oh, really? Real close with her? She's an older lady, obviously, because at this point he's 40.
Yeah, 41. He stayed for about an hour, and she said he seemed less chatty than normal. and he left her house on foot.
Well, he was just being a little quiet. I mean, he's just usually chats then, me up. He tells me all about his day, his gas station, and, and his boss, and holding his weed.
That's right. Then on 5 p.m. on the next day, which was the 25th.
Yeah, of June.
Yep, he went back to the ER complaining of shortness of breath.
Huh. And anxiety. Sounds like anxiety.
No, well, he has asthma.
Oh, he has asthma.
He had been mowing lawns.
Oh,
so.
Well, if you have asthma and you're mowing lawns, that adds up.
But he was not admitted. He was released at 5:50 p.m. Huh. And the aunt said, reported that there was that she had heard that he had slept in the waiting room of the hospital.
All night?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Huh.
Then on June 26th.
Scared of something.
June 26th.
Yeah.
At 11:30 a.m., the girlfriend spoke to Ricky. He told her he was on his way to the gas station to get something to eat. So, got a high-quality diet going on here. Got to
get some of them hot dogs. They've been sitting out for 4 days, and I think they're going to be half price. Now, one of them's got a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, that's right. At least one employee claimed to have seen him there. And
yeah, I saw him. He was eyeing them hot dogs.
And this employee also said they saw him on the 27th, which is the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, which is the day that the medical examiner said he died on the 27th. So, the employee said they saw him on the day that he died.
I saw Ricky on the 27th. He couldn't have been dead. He was in here eyeing them hot dogs again.
And Aunt Cookie suspects that she thinks he was going to the hospital so much because he was trying to hide from somebody.
Huh.
And
hoping they would admit him or something, maybe. So he'd be. I feel like it's a safe place. Like,
right.
You know that
you're safe there because nobody can hurt you.
Admit you have security.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So his remains were found on the 30th, lying face down with muddy and stained clothes.
But June 30th. Canada's highest court upheld a ruling that Canada's law against the possession of child pornography is unconstitutional.
What?
Yep.
Gross.
Yeah, it's gross.
Why?
Isn't that crazy?
How is that unconstitutional?
I don't know. It's a terrible world we live in. Hopefully since then that's been corrected because
let's hope.
There's a lot of Canadians that I respect.
Like
Bret Hart.
All right.
Justin Bieber.
So again, his
John
body
Candy.
Was in advanced stages of decomposition.
When they found him. So that's the creepy thing.
And that made the cause of death difficult to determine.
Especially if somebody saw him on the 27th.
Yes.
This is 3 days later, he was way more decomposed than that.
Yes. Police suspect foul play right away. But the initial report from the coroner just said suspicious death. No, it said undetermined, and then it was changed to suspicious death. And
after some tips came in or just after examining him or what, when they changed it, we don't know what made him change it.
We're not sure what made them change it. We're not sure how they got this, that he died on the 27th. I guess the eyewitness report, but they must've looked at his stomach contents too. Cause that's one way that they determine when somebody dies.
How do you know all this gross shit? I don't want to, why does anybody like this? If you're listening, why are you listening to this? Sorry.
Guy that he worked for, there was this guy named
gas station guy.
Baha Hamdala was the name of the guy that he worked for, and he went by Bob. So I'm gonna call him Bob.
Bob was called Bob. Baha.
No,
Hamdala.
Bob is what he went by.
We'll call him Bob.
Yeah.
Not
so
Jackie
that's
Mason.
The guy he worked with at the gas station, and he was linked to a gang in St. Louis and narcotics, and he was reported to be a very violent person with a record of violent crimes. He had beat somebody with a rusty hammer.
Oh.
He had shot people. He shot his brother at one point.
And he owned the gas station,
and
right?
He ran it.
He was the manager.
But it was weird because the original guy that owned it went away for murdering somebody. And then then this guy and his brother, I think, ran the gas station, and he was real violent too. So he's one of the suspects that the police were looking at because he was one of the last places. They usually look at the last place that you were.
And the people that are closest to you.
That's right.
They're going to look at the girlfriend. They're going to look at the boss.
Yeah. Then there was another suspect that they thought about. His name was Gregory Lamar Knox. He was a drug dealer that operated out of the apartment complex where Ricky lived. And he was suspected in a number of murders.
Was it the same gas station that he worked at that they saw him last to?
Yeah.
So he went there to eat too on days he was off.
So he probably was getting free food.
When I worked at a gas station in college, we ate sandwiches there. We'd go there to eat because we could.
Yeah, that's right. So this other guy was also had supposedly bragged that he had killed a man and dumped him in St. Charles.
Oh.
But they never did get enough evidence for either of those two guys to do anything about it. So the police staked out the gas station and the homes of the Bob guy, but nothing happened with that.
There was nothing else to lead them to believe there was any motive or anything.
Right. So now we're going to fast forward 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah. So the,
so we're
the
not
case
99
goes cold.
Anymore.
Case goes cold.
Cold case files.
And nothing happens, and it's just another guy gets shot and dies in
and
St.
I would,
Louis,
I would think
which
there's not
unfortunately
a lot of,
happens a lot.
And there's probably not a lot of people sniffing around this, because it didn't sound like he had a lot of loved ones. Or
right.
It's not like the beauty queen thing that it's a tragic. Everyone
there was
loved,
not a lot of
know,
press.
Nobody knew
there wasn't a lot
much.
Of
yeah.
an interest. Of it's yeah. just another number, because St. Louis can be a pretty violent place sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
So you fast forward 12 years, March of 2011. The FBI comes out, and they announce that when they searched the body, they found 2 pages of notes in his pocket.
What?
That were in some kind of code. So.
What? Wait a minute. They don't announce this till 2011?
Right. So here's the deal.
What?
Codes are a lot of times used by criminals to hide illegal activity. Detectives had the note for 2 years. And then they gave it to the, and they couldn't figure out what the code meant.
Oh.
And so then they gave it to the FBI after holding it for 2 years. And the FBI concluded that the, and
so by 2001, the FBI had it.
Right. And the FBI concluded that they're ciphers, which are notes that.
Not a dance, where, not a hip hop dance circle.
No, it's.
Not
it's,
that kind of cipher.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what a cipher is?
Where it's where. Pop letters and numbers stand for other letters and numbers.
Oh,
and,
like the decoder rings you had in the back, right. back of a cereal box yeah. when you were a kid.
It's like that's what a cipher is. Oh. So the FBI has a cryptical, what do they call it? They call it something.
Cryptograms?
Cryptanologists or something. They have people that's their Kryptonite. Whole job is to decode these things, these ciphers.
Cryptologists.
I don't know if you ever.
Like
you
a factologist, like Armand Crist?
Sort of. Did you see the Zodiac? The movie Zodiac with me?
No.
Okay.
And I won't ever. All right. I don't like those things.
Zodiac Killer, you had ciphers, and that was what the whole was famous for those. The FBI said that these really very likely could solve the case if they could be.
If they could crack
if
that
code. If
they
could crack the code.
If he has pages of. But why would they leave it on his body?
Well, the FBI spent hundreds of hours. And
you said criminals do that. They're known for leaving coded messages.
Not
on
leaving.
Dead body?
No, they're known for using them.
Oh, if they want to communicate to somebody else.
Yes. They're known for doing that, for using them so that if it was ever found.
Oh, like
he notes.
Would, he would maybe have them.
Like a personal note, maybe, but it, no, but you don't want other people to know what it says.
So he may have had those when he was transporting drugs and stuff.
Could be.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want him to know what they were saying. So one drug dealer or
he
criminal
could be
runner.
Courier,
could
to
another
courier.
One. It could be a note from
notes.
One to another. Okay.
Could be.
All right.
So this is one of the top unsolved cases in that division of the FBI's files. This is like ranked number 3 behind
all of the cryptogram
yeah,
files.
Yeah, behind the Zodiac, and then there's one called the Tom and Shud case, which I'm going to get to much later. But they released the notes to the public
okay.
with a plea to help solve the codes.
Please help us if you know what these codes
but
mean.
But one of the weird things is the police had never shared the notes with the family until they released it to the public, which I think, why wouldn't they have the family?
Well, is the family just Aunt Cookie?
It could be.
And then but girlfriend, maybe they just think they're both idiots.
They could at least have said, you know, yes, he wrote like that. Or, I mean, he is supposedly can only write his name for one thing. We don't know how extensive his illiteracy is.
So maybe they just assumed he couldn't write those and they just didn't even bother showing
but
them.
But they assume it's stupid in police work, I would think.
I don't know. There's got to be a reason they didn't show them.
So the FBI typically unlocks ciphers they receive in a number of hours. But they spent hundreds of hours for 10 years and they couldn't break these codes.
10 years. But I'm assuming it now became back in the news because there was a break in the case. There's a master, like there's some storyline where this master cryptograph.
It was like a turnover in staff.
Oh, and a new guy started. And he's like
said,
an expert cryptogram guy.
No, he started and he said, these fucking things have been laying here and nobody can break them. We need to do something. So let's just release them to the public and see if anybody in the public can help us because we can't do
so
it.
So there's no like fancy hotshot new guy that comes in chewing gum and taking names. And
so,
but
they do
reckless.
Say the experts at the FBI do say that these characters aren't random. That they believe that it is a code of some kind. It's not just gibberish.
Yeah, they definitely
scribbles.
Think it's code. So they release it on the news
because there's patterns in the messages,
uh-huh.
and they believe that these are notes that Ricky wrote himself. That they're personal notes that he was keeping for himself, and but they don't. Just because of some of the...
Is there an alien thing involved? Does anybody think it's aliens at all?
Probably. There's some bizarre theories.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past the aliens. Because alien languages would probably be undecipherable by
that's
us.
That's true.
I'm just saying, I doubt
they also think that they were written within days of when he was killed, too. So that's
aliens,
why they think that if they solve the code, they can find out who killed him.
Or what killed him. Because aliens... could also probably decompose a body faster than just
you think
the elements. If there was an alien, hell yeah.
Maybe.
They would decompose a body up in a crazy hot spaceship.
So some of the theories
Oh, just some theories. We some don't have theories. So it's not been solved.
Not been solved still to this day. And it's a hot commodity on the internet with internet sleuthers because
it is, I bet.
Because they I mean it's a big mystery. You know, it's one of these that people just
so I could spend hours just you could sit reading there looking theories.
At it. And it's interesting to look at. It's interesting to see. Some people say they look like VIN numbers from cars.
Oh, are there pictures of this?
Oh,
of
yeah.
The code online?
Oh, yeah. Pictures of it. Some people say they look like driving directions, which I don't know. And then people think that they have something to do with dealing drugs.
Well, because, again, like we talked about, coded message from dealer to dealer if he's delivering stuff, right?
And then,
what was the last name again?
McCormick. And then some people think that it looks like personal medical journal of some kind because it looks like certain things.
Oh, man. That's crazy. If you can look, you should, anyone, if you're driving, don't do this because it's unsafe. But if you're driving, listen to this podcast. When you get home, just Google Ricky.
We should put a picture of it up on the
I'll try
Facebook
to put it on there.
Or the Twitter page or whatever.
Yeah, I'll tweet it. But look up Ricky McCormick, M-I-C-K, and all you have to do is Google his name and image search. The notes.
Because it's such a popular case.
The notes come up. And it really is. It's just letters.
But some of them look like they could be like medicine, like doses of medicine and milligrams. And
yeah, but these TFRNE is repeated several times.
That's right. There's a couple things that are repeated. NCFE, I think it was.
There's TFRNE, NPTNSE, NPRSE.
And it's bizarre. So there's some more far out theories. There was one where...
You know how they have those... This reminds me of looking at this, just glancing. This reminds me of those things they put every once in a while. Your grandmother or your mom will post this on Facebook, and it's that, I bet you can read this because you're untrained.
Yes.
It's not
and
really letters.
And it's like
letters.
Numbers
it's like,
that look like letters.
Yeah.
And,
you can all read it because your untrained brain can read this whole sentence, and it's just saying that.
Yeah.
And so everyone's mom or aunt puts that up every 6 months or so.
That's right.
So that's what it looks like. I feel like I can read this if I just unfocus my eyes and then I'll probably solve it
you
pretty soon.
Will?
So by the time we publish this podcast, it'll probably be fixed and solved.
You think?
But aliens is the number one.
Well, the FBI says that cracking a code takes 4 steps. So the first thing is you have to determine the language that's being used, which is English in this case.
So I don't think it doesn't look like an alien language now because it looks, or although he wrote it. Here's them trying to solve it.
And then the second step is you determine the system used. Is it a cipher or do the letters and numbers represent like people and places and things like that? Then the third thing is you reconstruct a key that explains how the code maker changed the letters of the message. Like was every letter supposed to stand for 3 letters later in the alphabet or something like that?
Yeah.
And then the fourth step is to apply the key and transcribe the message. And the FBI cannot get past the second step. So they've determined that it's English.
Yeah.
And they've determined that it's a cipher. But they cannot get past that. They can't do anything more.
There's so many, like a lot of these look so repeated. RLSE.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, if he can't hardly write his name, but he might have schizophrenia.
Right. So he might hear voices saying these letters.
You know, and
maybe it's voices telling these letters. So it might mean
isn't
nothing.
It? Don't some schizophrenics have like furious writing episodes where they write nonsensical things and stuff?
I know a lot of times they hear voices telling them things and it could be just random,
but it's not. But the FBI says it's not random, that it is a pattern. There's a pattern there, and that they just can't figure
it out.
It
looks like a
pattern. They said that if they had a third page, they think they could have cracked it. Like they said, they just don't have enough. So that's the story of Ricky McCormick. It's a mysterious murder.
Wow. That's one to really really, if you get on the internet and look this up, you'll will probably be fascinated. And go ahead and tweet us at History for Jerks if you have Twitter. Or we're on Instagram. I think the same thing. It's at. Does Instagram use an at symbol? I'm not really sure how Instagram works. We're not on Snapchat because we don't really do the
we're old
dick pics or anything.
Yeah.
We don't really. We're not. Nobody wants to see our junk. And then what's the other social medias?
Facebook.
Who's it and the what's it? There's a kick. Some kids use Kick.
No,
we're on the Facebooks. We're trying to get out there and do more of that. But contact us. Let us know what you think. If you have any ideas, and we'll bring it up in another podcast, like what you think. Or if you know somebody, we'd have some St. Louis family and friends. So,
that's right.
Cousin Laura, I think, is the only one who's listening. Maybe some of your family. Ryan. Some of your friends. Ryan. If you guys know anything about Ricky McCormick or know who he is or knew him, let us know. And we'll solve it together. Then we'll start a whole new podcast where we just solve
murders. Yeah, solve mysteries.
Yeah, maybe we can do this like on Up and Vanish where we just like go into the town and meet all his relatives. I would like to meet Aunt Cookie. I bet she's
a nice lady.
Oh, let me show his body. Jeez, I'm on the line right now if you can't tell. But get online and check this out. It's really, really interesting. I'll be
looking at these pictures for the next 25 hours.
This has been 1999.
And this has been the end of season.
Episode 10. This is thank you for being here. Season 1. We have some thank yous. We want to thank all the people who have rated us. We want to thank Brian McCartney, Carrie Johnson wrote a review. Dan Briggs wrote a review. Duncan Briggs is listening.
Or Laura Owens.
Laura Owens. Lala Mara Perosa. Is that how you say
it? I think so.
Lala. Thank you, Laura. You're the best. You're our first person to listen and rate us. We love you, Laura. We love you long time. Is that a bad thing to say?
I think.
Porno? Okay. Anyway, thank all of you people. I'd like to thank Steve Brace. I know he listens. He's somebody I talk to regularly that listens, and he's actually a stand-up guy who means something to the world. Not that the other people don't. I like to thank our families. Your mom is listening. My mom is listening to some of them. My brother Andy for being a guest. Armand Crisp.
Yes.
We'd like to thank him for being an episode. Wolf Hammerstein has been a guest. Corinne Wood has listened. I know that for a fact. Ryan Burkett.
Yes.
Is a listener. Just let us know you're listening, and we will call you out.
We will.
Hopefully. We'll listen. At some point, hopefully, we'll have so many listeners that we can't just name them all.
Yeah, that's right.
But Jake, my cousin Jake, is listening.
Oh,
I know.
Good.
I don't know. I have a lot of family members.
My cousin Katie.
Katie listened. She started listening.
She did.
Some of them.
Kevin Beebe.
Kevin Beebe's listening. There's a lot of people. I heard Chris Connelly
was Chris
listening.
Connelly's listening.
And she hasn't said anything. But thanks, Chris, for listening, if you're listening. I mean, this has been a fun season.
Yeah, this has.
You want to continue this into season two, you think?
Yeah, we'll go through. So season two is going to be 1980s.
Yeah, we're going to start with the 80s. We're going to start back to 1980, and we're going to keep most of the stuff. Some things might change. The Royal Rumble thing will be gone because that didn't happen yet.
Thank God.
Oh, you know what?
Sounds good.
Anybody else we want to mention or thank?
I can't think of anybody.
Forgetting anybody? Oh, Morgan Kalma helped me with some advice on some sound equipment. Morgan, I work with him. I don't think he's listening, but... Morgan, call him.
All right.
Million.
All right. Okay.
But anyway.
It's time to get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. And thanks to Matt Truman. I forgot about that.
Oh,
thanks,
my God,
Matt Truman,
yeah,
for your awesome music. And let me use it. And hopefully people have bought your music because I've linked to your album, your first album. One of your albums.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Matt Truman.
All right.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
My ear came off in a corduroy accident. I don't really want to talk about it. I only eat pickled beets. I'm extra right-handed. Yeah, it's some of the doctors diagnosed me with. I don't like to brag about it. I have a whole website dedicated to the hate of left-handed people. Yeah, well, being a doubly right-handed people, I also sort of make fun of just regular right-handed people, too.